right, we're on.
We're on in 5, 4.
You know me, that's my hometown.
Radio Hometown Voices Tour. John Williams is on the road at Pinstripes in Oak Brook right now on 720 WGN.
America's my hometown.
Yeah. All right, let's do this show then, shall we? Wow, hey, it's John Williams. Hey, let's have a round of applause. Let him go ahead. I'm telling you, we've done a lot of Hometown Voice Tour stops. This is about as big a crowd as I've ever seen. And I don't think it's me. I think it's the 10% off, isn't it? Right? All right, it's 111 on WGN. This is John Williams. This is Adam, the engineer. That's Elif, our producer. There's the famous Marlene Wells genie, the lady in the pretty purple jacket, put all of this together. So we have the WGN team here. And it's just so nice to be here in Oak Brook at the Pinstripes. We are here courtesy of our friends from Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. These tour stops are a chance for us to see you and you to see us. And, you know, we do a lot of things with WGN listeners over the years. How many of you have been to a Kathy and Judy convention once upon a time? How many of you have cruised with us or gone on one of the Bertrand trips? So we're going to visit with we're going to visit, and yet they still showed up. That's the surprising thing. So we're just going to visit with some of these people and do a version of the John Williams Show here on WGN. By the way, strolling through here in a few minutes, in fact, Elif, if you could go get her now, is remember Spike Odell's old producer, Tracy. Tracy and some of her friends just came through, and she's going to come and join us and talk a little bit. Tracy is ever the producer. She's always sending me good ideas for the show. John, you got to be talking about this. John, what about this? And a lot of times they have to do with kids because Tracy now has kids and they're in school. And so she's always talking about that sort of thing with me. So we said, well, Trace, if you're going to be in the neighborhood, come on by. So Tracy's going to say hello to us in a little while as well. You know, we do those cruises and we do them oftentimes with Kelly Cruises. And Sue Kelly is here, a friend of ours there in Oak Brook. So she's going to say hello to us as well. We'll continue to follow the regular news of the day as well. People are still talking about what happened in the 6th Congressional District in Georgia. And was that a referendum for the president? Did the Democrats just miss a chance, or did they send a strong message to the world? We're going to talk about that with a reporter from the Washington Post who is... No, it's actually from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about that. That will be in our 2 o'clock hour. So lots of ground to cover on today, the 20th of April. It's 420 day. And by the way, let me just find my little article about this. How many of you know what 420 stands for? Do you know why 420? Adam just raised his hand. Why do they call 420 day marijuana day? What is the reason behind that? Do you know, Adam? It's the police code. And they looked it up. There's an article out online today, and they looked it up, and they said, no, in fact, it's not the police code. They said, okay, is it the old Bob Dylan song? No, it's not the old Bob Dylan song. Here it is, Weed Day. Let me just read this to you. Oh, and then, by the way, we'll have to live stream this too, Elif. We have this packet that we will open and share with you all in just a little bit. It's really weird what's in there. First, April 20th, 420, is known as Weed Day in some circles because the date corresponds with the numerical code for marijuana. We have it now medicinally in Illinois, and they have it recreationally in all of the West Coast, and it's coming your way soon. How did the number 420 come to represent smoking pot? Some claim the number is drawn from the California criminal codes used to punish for the use of the distribution of marijuana. We got a 420 over here on Oak Street. No, they say the 420 California Criminal Code refers to obstructing entry on public land. So that's a myth. What about the LAPD or NYPD radio code where they would call in a crime? That's not it either. There is the legend of the Bob Dylan song. The one nod to Bob Dylan's song, Rainy Day Women, number 12 and 35. That's a famous Bob Dylan song. And in that, he sings famously, everybody must get stoned. Those numbers appear in the title. If you multiply 12 by 35, you get 420. So maybe that's the reference, but that seems to be a stretch. According to the curator of the Oaksterdam Cannabis Museum in Oakland, California. 420 started as a secret code among high schoolers in the early 1970s. A group of friends at San Rafael High School in Marin County, California, called themselves the Waldos, and they would meet at 4:20 in the afternoon to get high. It was the perfect time. They were out of school. Their parents weren't home from work yet, so 4:20 was the time that they could smoke pot without anybody noticing it. And the 4:20 Club became known as the Marijuana Club, and that's why 4:20, a.k.a. April 20th, is Weed Day. We do not have any of that here. But the other day, we had a guy on the radio. I don't know if you heard this conversation, but he, and Elif, you can live stream this if you like. He was a really nice guest. I don't know if you heard this guy, but he said that when you produce a pound of beef, that requires 20 pounds of food. You know, to make a cow, it requires 20-1 is the ratio. He said the ratio of edible food for crickets is 1.2-1. You need 1.2 pounds of food to harvest, if you will, 1 pound of crickets. Who wants to eat crickets? Nobody wants to eat crickets, but people in the world do. They eat grasshoppers, they eat all sorts of things. He said, if we could get over our squeamishness about eating crickets, they're a great source of protein. They can be made delicious, and it's really good for the earth. So he's going on and on about it, and he said they come in different flavors, ranch, Tex-Mex. By the way, that lady right there is Tracy Hubelman. Give it up for Tracy Hubelman. Oh, except her name's not Tracy Hubelman anymore. Spike Odell's old producer. Say hello, Tracy. How
Hi,
are
John.
You?
Hi, John. How are you?
Your last name is now?
Weiner.
Weiner.
Yes.
Okay, so Trace, I'll just finish this story.
I love you, but I'm not going
to
eat that.
I want you to be my first person. So.
That was not in the deal.
So here's the deal. So I went online to this company called Aketa, and we ordered some, and they sent them in this packet. It arrived the other day, and I have not opened it because I wanted to do the big reveal here for you. And there's enough. We'll share them. If you want to try these with your cocktail, we'll walk them around. They raised their hand in the back. The crazy table did. Yes. Hello. Grace and her friends over there. It's Grace, right? Okay. So this is them, Trace. Let me just open it here. Marlene, you can help me. Open that up. All right. So we'll dump them out here. All right. Now that's a little... Non-climate, they come in little black packets. It looks like there would be teas in there. These are crickets, and they have de-legged and armed them.
So talking that, about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be really healthy and nutritious and delicious, but they're crickets. Let me open them, Mar. So which
All
one should we open?
All the flavoring in the world can't make
You want the
taste.
Texas barbecue? Sea salt and vinegar. I love sea salt and vinegar chips. Why wouldn't I sea salt and vinegar crickets? Southwestern. And which one are you opening there, Marlene? Ooh, sour cream and onion. Now, when they make these, they freeze them, and then they bake them.
And so de-leg not, them, right? They take the legs off, didn't
and
you
they,
say?
They de-leg them, and they're not supposed to be squishy because they've been baked. So, gee, here they are. All right, so this is them. I'll just sprinkle a few out here. Oh, my. Well, they look like crickets, got no legs on them. Oh, come on. Look, that's the problem with America. We judge, we judge, we judge. Adam, our engineer, is now about to eat the first one in 3, 2, 1. There he goes. Let's hear it for Adam. And bye for our radio audience. Adam just died. You know what? They're pretty good. It's very dry, and Tracy's going to hand her Trace. Do you want a sour cream and onion one? You know what? It tastes a little burnt, but...
I think I need a beer you know, chaser or something.
I almost think they would be better, Trace, if they had the legs on them, because they just look like...
Can I have this?
Yeah, you can have that water. There she goes! We're so proud of Tracy.
Not bad.
They're not bad. They taste sour cream and oniony.
Just don't think about
And don't think about it.
Yeah.
And by the way, that was, however delicious that was really good for you, Trace.
Wow, I got my protein for the day.
You got your protein for the
sour
day.
Cream
they come
and
in these little packets.
Thumbs up.
So we'll put them on. I know the restaurant here loves that I brought edible crickets into their That cannot be good for business. Actually, the burgers now really look good, don't they? So, Trace, how have you been, by the way?
I'm good. It's so nice to see you. You're like my Whoopi. I'm so happy to have you back.
So, what happens? You remember Beth Swerk, who produced for me and is a friend of yours?
Yeah.
And Kurt Vandera
and
now Tracy Weiner and all of these producers that we've had over the years.
Yep.
They still produce. Like Beth and Matt Bubala and Tracy will still send me email. Oh, my God, did you see this article? You should do this and blah, 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 blah. I go, you're not doing it anymore. You have to stop producing.
It's in our blood. We can't help ourselves.
Well, but then what happens is as their lives change, as they get kids and they start to think differently, now you're always sending me things about school-age kids or parenting, right?
Yes.
You sent me a few articles that I thought would be interesting to talk about. One was the Naperville North story, right?
Yes.
At Naperville North, there's a petition going around so that the students won't have... They think there's too much pressure. And they've had a couple of tragedies at that school. I don't mean to make light of it. But suddenly, 700 kids or people from all around the country signed an online petition.
Oh, it's at 1,800 now.
Is it at 1,800?
Yes.
It's at change.org, right?
Correct.
And they want them to put less pressure on the kids. They said there's the Naperville North way. You know, you get good grades, you get involved in extracurricular activities.
Sports, AB classes, don't take study hall.
And I thought that everything that they were complaining about is, in fact, the things you should be doing, right? You should be working on getting good grades. You should be studying hard. You should be in sports. You should be in orchestra.
Right.
It's
intense, though.
Is it really that intense now?
I mean, I had AP classes in high school, too. But now it just seems amped up just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, if they'd had change.org when I was a kid, I would have created a petition.
It was started by a student. It was her essay, so to speak, of how things are, and this is why the problems we're having in high school with kids.
And I think the question is, so is that a reasonable, is it a reasonable expectation to ask the kids to do all this stuff? Or is she being reasonable? It's reasonable to say, hey, you're asking too much from us. What's the answer on that?
I don't know. I had over Easter, I was with my family, and I had a conversation with my brother-in-law, and he's like, the pressure that we had back when we were in high school is the same as it is now. I don't actually agree with that, but he thinks that these pressures were always around for high school kids.
I know. I mean, let's not even talk about Naperville North. Let's just talk about the high school students in general today. I think because of social media or just a higher sense of entitlement or empowerment, they're pushing back.
Yeah.
But I don't know that we would do them any favors by saying, oh, yeah, it sucks. It's a lot of pressure. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. Buck up and get it done.
Right.
That's my attitude, Trace, but I'm so Don Draper about this. I don't know if I'm the one that needs to change.
I think there's a balance. I don't know that it's necessarily the school administrator's fault, but I think it comes from home, too. I definitely feel like being a mom now, I have a fifth and a third grader, it's hard.
Oh, really?
Balancing everything and trying to do what's right and be proactive in their academics but not push.
Right, I know. That's such a balance, isn't it? By the way, I still got a little cricket parts in my mouth, do you?
No, because you gave me your water.
I know. I haven't had any water, and I'm going, I'm still fiddling with crickets in my mouth. See, this gentleman's having one here, so we're sharing them with you. If you want to come on up, we'll give you some of these dang things, please. It's a 124. This is WGN.
Everybody must get stoned. Well, they'll stone you when you're walking on the street.
Marlene's walking around with a service tray filled with Texas barbecue, sea salt and vinegar, and Southwest and sour cream and onion crickets.
That's what I had.
Yeah.
It was good.
Do you want to try the sea salt and vinegar? The answer can be no. I'm not working for this company, Trace, so don't make the poor girl do it if she doesn't want it. Here's the sea salt and vinegar.
Sure, I'll try it.
Woo! Oh, boy. Wow.
Get that water.
Those pack a wallop. That kind of clears you out. The company is Aketta, A-K-E-T-T-A. The guy was a guest on our show the other day, so we ordered some of his products. You notice that the word crickets does not appear on the packets.
Nowhere on that label.
Isn't he clever that way?
Yes.
Tracy Weiner was a longtime producer at WGN Radio, so she lives out in these parts now, right?
Yes, I'm out in Downers Grove.
Are you working? Are you still involved in broadcasting?
No, I hung up my headphones after Kate was born.
So I was just kind of teasing you, but talking to you a little bit about some of the things that you are sending my way. And another interesting story you sent my way, which we talked about briefly one day, was the story of the kid with the stamp on his hand. Do you remember that one?
The lunch money?
Yeah, he was short of lunch money, so they stamped his hand.
Like the scarlet letter. Like, seriously, send a note home, a pink slip in their blue folder when they come
home. And it said something like insufficient funds or something like that.
Yeah.
So then that's the way to let the mom know that there's not enough money there.
Yeah.
And you thought that was inappropriate.
I do. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like the story was like 75 cents he was down? It wasn't even like a big bill that he had a balance.
Right. It reminds me of the times where the kids don't have enough money and then they give them the alternative lunch with the parents. And some people just say, well, this is up to the parents. Then keep enough money in the dang fund. It's on you. It's not the school's fault. But how you handle that is critical.
It could have been handled differently, I think.
Yeah. No kidding. So what are you having lunch with your girlfriends here, by the way?
Yeah, a bunch of my mom friends are over, and we're going to have lunch before we have to pick up the kids. And you were so close, I was like, I have to come see you.
Well, it's sure nice to see you, Trace, and keep those cards and letters and ideas coming.
I will, always.
By the way, could we just get a round of applause for this young lady here, Tracy Weiner?
Oh, thank you. Love you, John.
It's nice to see you, my dear.
Nice to see you.
By the way, we're videoing all of this. So.
Oh, goody.
So you'll be able to catch this at WGNradio.com in the video format as well. It's 1:31. We'll pause, update you on the news. That's next on GN. All right, when I count to three so that they can hear you in WGN Radio land, you all make a big ruckus, okay? We are live at Pinstripes in 1, 2, 3. I brought snacks, and they're really happy about it. Really, so, like, I'll do, two options here. You really liked the edible crickets, or you really didn't like the edible crickets. If you like the edible crickets, let me hear from you. 1, 2, 3. And if you thought, oh, my God, John, that was a really bad idea, let me hear you. 1, 2, 3. Oh, you can come right up here and try them. We have them in a variety of seasonal flavorings. By the way, you know what's interesting? So Adam, our engineer here, he's a great guy. He's a longtime employee and friend of mine. He was the first one to try one because he's a team player. And he says, all right, that was fine. But that's what everybody says. And then he said, you know what I find? I keep coming back. It's like, you know how when you have chips out, you just keep eating them without thinking about them? He's had about 10, 15 of them. So maybe they're not so bad after all. This is just a little follow-up on a conversation we had. We interviewed the guy about them, and we thought, well, let's get some. And then we thought, hey, we're going to Pinstripes, courtesy of Allstate. Let's share them with our friends. So that's what we are doing. I'm sitting next to another friend of mine. Her name is Sue Kelly. You've heard us talk about our Kelly Cruises trips that we take a lot on WGN Radio. That was with Nancy. Her daughter, Sue, runs the joint now, and she's sitting next to me. Hi, Sue. How are you?
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing really well. It's nice to see you. You've been well?
I have. I'm thrilled to be here.
Where did you travel last? Where were you last?
Well, I think the last big trip I had was our AMA charter when we did the Danube in October.
Yeah, we did a Danube. By the way, who went on the Danube trip with us? Okay, fewer people than earlier, but no, actually, several of our friends from the cruise are here. One of the nice things, and you hear Steve Bertrand say this, you've heard me and Kathy and Judy say this, Spike Odell and Orion say this, that when you take one of these trips, you get on a boat with people you do not know.
That's right.
They don't know us, we don't know them. And within 24 hours, you've shared such unique experiences, you become lifelong friends.
Exactly.
And in fact, all of these people that are sitting at these two tables here, they didn't all know each other all along, but now they're here as friends just hanging out with us.
Exactly. And we see that happen all the time with our groups, with WGN, even some of our special interest groups that we do. We see that people come together. But I will say this, I have to interrupt. The WGN groups, John.
They're the best?
They're the best.
Yeah,
they really,
really
are.
Well, because they have a common connection. It's not just, hey, we're on a ship together. We're traveling together.
Right.
But we also sit around and tell WGN stories.
We do.
So whenever I do a trip, I always say, okay, we reserve one of the suites or one of the common areas, and then I'll give a little talk. And
exactly.
People have questions, and that's always kind of fun.
It is. It's fun, and I think people come together for that reason. But we find that there's so much commonality, and there's so many, you know, I happen to have lived next to this neighbor, and there's so many crossovers.
It's amazing.
And
these
people have been intersecting
all along,
yes,
and didn't even know they were all GN listeners.
Yes, they didn't know. And we saw that with the largest group we had on AMA. We saw so much of that, and just people really got along. And you know what? It was really, really fun.
It was really fun. That was our Budapest. We went down the Danube.
Yes.
And it was, the entire boat was WGN listeners. And we just saw some amazing things.
We did.
The river cruises are really fun.
Oh, river cruising is so popular, John. It's just exploding.
You want to do another trip next April, a year from now.
Me too.
And you showed me an itinerary that we could do, which would be places like where? Barcelona?
Starting in Barcelona, over and spending a little bit of time in Spain, going to Valencia, going to Palma de Mallorca, and then coming up to France and stopping in a really, really neat, unique port called Sète.
I saw that and thought, I don't know what that is.
From Sète, in about 2 hours, is this little town called Carcassonne. And Carcassonne, if you can picture Robin Hood, actually, there was a 1991 version of Robin Hood, and they filmed it in the village of Carcassonne. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It is this charming, beautiful,
walled
city. Yeah. So you come over the drawbridge into the town. You can go up into the ramparts where you can view all of the rolling hills and this beautiful scenery in southern France. And it's really a little different than what you would see in Barcelona or what you would see even in Marseille and Provence or over in Monte Carlo. It's beautiful and it's charming and there's history and there's really good wine, John.
All right, I'll go. You know... One thing that I noticed, too, on these various trips is that when you see walled cities or villages, we just have no appreciation for that in this country because America, with the exception of some forts that go back to, say, revolutionary days, we didn't have the use for them. We didn't have the need for them. We have a moat, as Thomas Jefferson said, on either side, the Atlantic and the Pacific. We didn't need walls.
Right.
And then you go to places in Europe and... Son of a gun. Those walls are still there.
Oh, yeah.
You see the land now. It's usually not filled with water. It's just a grassy area, but where the moat would be.
Right.
Then maybe the second wall. You see where the drawbridge was.
Yes.
It's probably not there anymore. But you get a sense of they really did live in these walled cities, and it really was for protection.
They had to. And there's the little towers up on top looking out to make sure. And they've got the little slits where they could draw their arrows. And fight off the people that wanted to...
masses,
yes,
yeah,
exactly.
It's really fascinating. There is a new boat in the fleet that you guys use. What's that called?
Oh, Regent Seven Seas. They're one of our favorite partners, and I know you've experienced them many times. They have a new ship, the Seven Seas Explorer, and John. Oh, John, she is magnificent.
It's only about 750 people,
right? It's 750 passengers, but it is truly, their tagline is, the most luxurious ship in the world.
But you don't book people usually on the 3,000-passenger ships? Because those have got a lot of bells and whistles, too.
They do. You know, our segment of the market at Kelly Cruises is really in the upper premium into the luxury end. And those large ships... those cruise lines have become very innovative. You know, the Royal Caribbeans and the celebrities, they're building these ships with 4,000 and 5,000 passengers, but they've become very creative in the space, how they use the space, what they're doing, and the technology that they're using on those ships to give those passengers as personalized an experience as they possibly can.
Yeah.
On the smaller ships, like on the new Regent Seven Seas Explorer, what they can do is, with only 750 passengers, the level of service, these are all suite, all balcony suites. With 750 passengers...
And yours are all-inclusive trips, too.
They're all-inclusive, so your gratuities, your soft drinks, your wine and spirits, your excursions, and that's such a big part of it. that it's all included up front. You know what it is.
Yeah.
And it's very appealing to today's passengers.
Well, we've enjoyed it because of that. Because you think, I actually don't almost have a way to spend a nickel on the ship. I mean, sometimes, depending on the package, you get a shipboard credit.
Yes.
And then you have money to spend at the gift shop. But otherwise,
right.
you don't tip. You don't pay for the excursions. You don't pay for a cocktail. You don't pay for the nice restaurant. There's
right.
no upgrades. There's no premiums.
Nothing. It's,
and it's
all
such
inclusive.
A more relaxed. Because I've had friends go on trips, and they'll do an economy version. Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
But then they get the bill when they get off. And so they know when they're at the pool and they're going to have another margarita that that's going to be written down and recorded. And so then they have, that's always lingering over them.
It is.
It's not on an all-inclusive.
It is. I think when they do it all-inclusive, I think what it does is it unburdens the traveler. They don't have to worry about that. They shift that brain into true vacation mode.
Yeah.
And they can enjoy. And then it gives them the chance to really dive in and enjoy all of the ports of call.
Well, we appreciate your business at WGN. We also appreciate, amongst listeners like we have here, you guys being a focal point for us to get together and have great memories and great stories on the radio. And I know we're going to do something again next year. We'll talk more about that next week.
I look forward to it, and I just want to thank you.
That is Sue Kelly, by the way, and her mom, Nancy, long friend of ours. And thanks for visiting with us today.
Thanks, John. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Sue. This is the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. We're live from Pinstripes in Oak Brook. It's presented by Allstate, Chicago's own hands. It's 148 on WGN. I have a package for four at the Hawthorne Race Course for the 59th Illinois Derby. It's presented by ExpressBet on Saturday, April 22nd. This is a great package. It includes admission to the track. You've got the program. They give you a buffet and bar with domestic beer, wine, and soda. You can get tickets online by 5 p.m. on April 20th at HawthorneRaceCourse.com. HawthorneRaceCourse.com. We've got two packages to give away right now. Just call. Should we just have them call? Is that the best way to give it away? Call 312-591. Now, what is the phone number here, Elif? It's 312-
981-781-7200.
Call that number right now. In fact, look, all the phone lines are ringing. Call that number right now. And the seventh and eighth callers, we've got tickets for you for the whole package over at Hawthorne. Hello, young lady. Talking to that microphone. What is your name?
Hi, I'm Sharon Cook.
Where are you from, Sharon?
I'm from LaGrange, and I traveled with you on a couple of cruises. I just got here, and I heard you talking about the our most recent one, which was the Danube River cruise.
You know, I didn't mean to make this a cruise show, but just so many of my friends who live out in the suburbs have come by who we've traveled with. Where's your handsome husband?
He is on the Appalachian Trail right now. So
oh, very nice.
I heard you talking the other day about your marathon.
Yeah, my experience of not wanting to do it.
So this is his marathon hike. So
how much of the trail is he going to do?
He wants as far as he can.
How long is he planning to be out there? As long as he can.
It's 2,000 plus miles. So if it takes him till October, he's going to be.
My brother-in-law, my wife's ex-husband. Anyway, he McLeach did the trail, and it took him. I think he did it in two long segments. One of them was several months, and the other one was a few months. But he did it in a year. He did the entire thing. It was the journey of his life. He just loved it.
Right. They say it's life-changing. So.
And so your husband may come back a changed man.
Yeah. He's between jobs, so he knew it was the perfect time to do it. He's always talked about doing it. So.
Wow. So you went out there for a few days. What was that like?
It was nice. I was out there with him for 4 days. The Sunday and Tuesday, the weather was beautiful. Monday and Wednesday, it was raining, so the bike ride the four of you took in the rain compares nothing to hiking in the thunderstorm for 8 hours.
Really? So, you know, friends of mine did that as well from Minnesota. Their sons were going to do it, so the mom and dad said, oh, we'll tag along with the boys for a while. And when it's raining on the Appalachian Trail and you're hiking it, you are now hiking in the rain.
Right. There's nothing else to do. It would be cold sitting in a shelter 24 hours. It would be like...
And you might not be near a shelter either, so you just got to keep going. And then it gets muddy.
Right.
So is that what you were going through?
Yeah. I kept dry. I had a raincoat and a rain poncho over that, a bag over the backpack. Everything stayed dry. And then when it stopped, we walked ourselves dry the second 4 hours.
So it, So was that kind of invigorating as well? Did you enjoy it for that reason?
Yeah, I knew I was going home in 4 days, so I was like, I guess I'm experiencing what you're going to have. But the rest, any other time you don't have to do this, you could sit out during the day. But I was pushing him because he had a destination set for me to be at Wednesday.
Oh,
by noon,
yeah.
Where my parents were picking me up.
Right.
So we had to do 12 miles in the rain. And by 5:30, we were probably at 11 miles, and we knew we weren't going to make the next 3 miles uphill. Or, I'm sorry, we were at 10 miles. We weren't going to make the next climb, so we stopped after a half a mile later by 6:30 and camped that night and then
really?
Just set the things. But
and were you
I got to...
Were you ticked? Were you yelling at him? Were you like, I cannot believe we're
no,
out here
No, not at all.
This.
He was complaining that I was walking too fast.
Too slow. Oh, too fast.
Yeah,
wow.
I was ahead of him.
How about that? Well, it's nice to see you. Thanks for coming by and visiting with us here. I'm sorry that Bob, right?
Yes.
Bob can't be with us, but it's nice of you to come by and say hi.
Okay.
We're here until 3 o'clock. Maybe we'll travel again, huh?
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Brenda and I are not going to do the trail with you, just so
no,
you know.
We are
so not doing that. Our idea of roughing it is coach. So.
Thank you.
So thank you for saying hi. Now, what do you want me to do here, Ella? Say it again, read this, and then take a break and get ready for the news. Today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour is live from Pinstripes in Oak Brook. It's presented by your Allstate agent, Maggie Barashka. And we're back with the news on WGN.
Let's head back to Oak Brook and Pinstripes, where John Williams is broadcasting live on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour from 720 WGN.
All right, we are live at Pinstripes. Everybody cheer and go, yeah! It's the Hometown Voices Tour Stop. It's presented by Allstate, as you just heard, Chicago's own good hands. This is John Williams. By the way, can I just say this? It is really good to be back in Chicago and on WGN Radio. And so many of you here have been so nice. You've come up to me and said, John, it's good to have you back. And, you know, I don't know about all of that. You know, you sit in a box and you don't know who's on the other side. And when you come back after having been away from a Monday through Friday shift and you move back to town, you hope that those friends that you hoped were out there are still there for you. And Lord, you really showed up for me today. It's really nice. So we, frankly, I'm shocked. So, and I sent Brenda a picture. She's not here today, but I said, Brenda, and she said, hug all of them. So I'm not, but I did offer them crickets. We have a wonderful display of edible snack crickets here. We have a guest on the phone we're going to go to in about 45 seconds. What is your name, nice lady?
Jean.
Jean, and who are you over there?
And I'm Gail.
Gail, how do I know you? When did we last meet?
We met several years ago when I called into WGN Radio trying to win a Skybox ticket for a Cubs game.
Nice.
Family's a lifelong Cubs fan. Love them.
And so you won.
I won. I can't believe I did. And I met you and your son, and I brought my 3 children. My husband stayed home.
As I recall, your family terrified me. Is that correct?
My family, when my daughter heard that I won the ticket, she was standing next to me. She was screaming all over the house.
I got it. But you know what? So when we give away great prizes sometimes, right? I mean, this Cavalia thing we're giving away, $500 ticket, it's wonderful. We give away Skybox tickets. And invariably, the higher the prize or the value of the prize, the worse the winner is. If you give them a Lou Malnati's pizza, their clothes come off and they run around and they're so happy. They go, oh, I can't believe I won a Malnati's pizza. And it's wonderful. If you say you just want a trip for 2 to Europe, they go, thanks. And you know, the reason you give away the big prize is to get that big reaction. So when we give you guys Skybox seats,
yes,
and they go bananas, we're like, yes, thank you. So if you ever win a prize from us, please lose your mind, will you? Just go bananas. That's
we did do that. We
yes,
did do
you
that.
Did. In fact,
and you said on the radio, I'm afraid to meet your family.
Yeah, we almost rescinded the tickets for the first time. Ladies, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for saying hi.
Thank you for coming back to Chicago.
I'll tell you what, it's good to be back. We now go to Atlanta. On a phone line is Greg Bluestein, I think is how you pronounce his name. He's a reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Greg, I'm John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
I'm great. And, John, we down in Atlanta are thrilled you're back there, too.
It's good to have. Have you ever been to or through Chicago, Greg?
I have many times, and my wife is going tomorrow for a bachelorette party, so watch out.
Okay, yeah, well, we'll alert the police before you get into town. You write for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and the whole country has focused on the 6th Congressional District down there. It's kind of weird. It happens once in a while where one local race suddenly takes on national significance. Just talk a little bit about what happened down there.
Yeah, it's very weird because this district should not be competitive at all. It's a very conservative North Atlanta suburban district that has been in Republican hands since the 1970s. It was once represented by Newt Gingrich, by Senator Johnny Isaacson, and then by Tom Price, who's now Trump's health secretary. When that seat opened, 18 candidates got in the race, including this Democrat named John Ossoff, who raised a record $8.3 million in just a few months and has turned this race on its ears. He ended up almost winning it outright on Tuesday night, and now he faces a runoff in June against the Republican named Karen Handel.
So when the local congressman becomes a member of the Trump cabinet, that opens up his congressional seat, and then they have a runoff. If anybody got more than 50% of the vote, Republican or Democrat, they would win it. But everybody then ran in this special primary, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We were all joking. Who didn't get in the race? There were so many candidates. And it really became a race that was a referendum on Donald Trump. Donald Trump, even though this was a long-held Republican district, Trump only barely carried it. He won it by about a point in November. So it really became a test of his popularity. And a lot of voters, even the longtime Republican voters in this area, were very skeptical of him and wanted to send a message to Trump by voting against a Republican in the congressional district.
Yeah, although I must tell you, I'm still surprised by what happened. I mean, we'd heard about this Ossoff guy. We knew that he was a contender, but it's still hard to believe that in Newt Gingrich's old district, in Tom Price's old district, that a Republican wouldn't beat a Democrat, especially a novice. I mean, this guy's 30 years old. He doesn't have a lot of real political experience. He doesn't have a lot of issues. And in fact, so what they do then is he is in the special runoff against the second highest vote getter, a woman with more traditional conservative political credentials there, and she only got about 20% of the vote, right?
Yeah, and she has a very big name here in Georgia. She is the former statewide Secretary of State who's in charge of elections. She ran for governor. She ran for Senate. She was unsuccessful in both those runs, but she has a huge name recognition. And John Ossoff came from out of nowhere. It's not like he had a famous last name or that he had a long history in politics. I mean, he was barely even heard of from even hardcore Democrats in this district. And above and beyond that, he doesn't even live in the district. He lives just south of it and was still able to get almost 50% of the vote.
I wonder if President Trump making robocalls and tweeting about it helped or hurt Ossoff.
Yeah, I mean, Ossoff is trying to take advantage of that. His campaign rhetoric, he's talking about making Trump furious, how he'll be the candidate who can stand up to Donald Trump. And it's really almost put the Republican in the race, Karen Handel, in a bit of a bind because there are so many Republicans in the district who are a little bit, you know, very lukewarm, very tepid on Trump. And so he's actually coming to Atlanta next Friday for an NRA convention, and that'll be a big test of whether or not Karen Handel shows up and is seen in pictures with him.
Maybe we're making too much out of this. Tell me if this maybe rings true. Even though it's in Georgia, it's not a deep red district. Maybe Ossoff wouldn't have had a chance if it was in a place that wasn't so 50-50 to begin with.
Yeah, that's definitely a valid point. And the other valid point about people who try to project this on the 2018 next year's House races is that he also benefited from really being the biggest game in town. I mean, this election is it's a special election. It's in 2017, so we don't have too many other races to monitor. So all the money, all the national attention, all the surrogates, all the campaign, all that activity is centered on this race. Well, next year, not many candidates will be able to command $8 million fundraising calls in one quarter.
We've seen that in Chicago before, too, where suddenly you have out-of-state or out-of-district money coming in. And to be honest with you, I kind of resent that. Maybe resent's not the right word, but, really, when I get to be king someday, Greg, I'm not going to let people from outside the district or state contribute to something that's outside their own geographic area. Maybe they shouldn't be wielding all of that influence in something that doesn't affect the locals.
That has become a huge issue in this campaign. Out of the 8.3 million plus that John Ossoff got, only 1 in 20 of his donors was actually from Georgia, and even fewer of those were actually in the district. So he's getting a flood of money. Yeah, and there's also a flood of Washington money from super PACs supporting both the Republicans and Democrats, because this has been a proxy fight. And there's one analysis that showed for every penny of local money spent on the race, there was $10 of national money. That's what a flood
wow.
we've seen. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, but then he just misses, this Ossoff guy. And by the way, they had banners. They had signs in Atlanta for John Ossoff. And the billboard said, vote your Ossoff, less than 2 percentage points, right? So now it goes to this the election, and now it's a one-on-one race. And maybe that's going to be different, because all of the people who split their votes among the other Democrats or all of the Republicans might not, I mean, you know, they're all probably going to not vote for him. They already had their chance. So maybe he doesn't do so well on a one-on-one, right?
Yeah, that's what Republicans hope. And also, not only that, but there'll be it's a one-on-one where instead of there were 11 Republican candidates in this race on Tuesday. So, and they were mostly warring with each other. They weren't really focusing much on John Ossoff. So the Republican hope is that now that there's only one candidate, they can get behind Karen Handel and focus all their attention on Ossoff. But Karen Handel has a bit of a history here in Georgia as well. When you run for statewide office so many times, you make some enemies. And a lot of the big power brokers in Georgia lined up behind some of her rivals. They're starting to coalesce behind her right now. The governor just endorsed her this morning. He has a very bitter history with her. U.S. Senator David Perdue backed one of her rivals. He just endorsed her as well. So they're starting to rally around her. But she'll need a lot of support and a lot of enthusiasm if she wants to defeat John Ossoff in this district.
Do Democrats take away, do Democrats at least have some consolation? Maybe they'll win, but maybe it is a signal, though, to the country and to the president that it's not working as well as he'd hoped, in that this unheard-of Democrat got 48% of the vote in one district in Georgia. I mean, is there something to that?
Yeah. Also, I've got criticized for calling this a, quote, victory for the ages, you know, by getting 48% of the vote in this district.
But he did
come from zero. I mean, he came from nowhere, no name recognition, nothing, to almost win this district outright. And I think Democrats, even if he ends up losing in June, can take from this. This is how a Democrat can run in a district that used to be considered the safest of the safe Republican districts. This is the type of rhetoric you use. You talk about, you know, friendly conservative type themes like cutting wasteful spending, while also saying you will be the independent voice who can stand up to Trump.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, Greg. I mean, I do radio shows and still hear people calling in supporting Trump and criticizing those of us who criticize him. What's the feel in Atlanta or Georgia about this president or about this administration? I know I'm asking you to paint with a broad brush here, but can you just give me a little bit of the feel?
Yeah, I'm actually out in a red part of the district. I'm in the city of Johns Creek, which is in the northern part of the district, very affluent, very wealthy. And I just talked to a lot of voters about how they feel about Donald Trump. And many of the Republicans kind of held their nose and voted for him. He did win the district, but barely. And this is a part of the district so red that Democrats don't even bother to stand for election here. They don't even, you know, run for city council or state legislature here. And a lot of them have said that Trump so far is not living up to his administration's promises. They're still open. They're still not, you know, turning their backs on him, but they're saying he has a long way to go to live up to, you know, all that he promised. And he made a lot of campaign promises.
Well, that's the deal. I mean, it's not 100 days. And I think if you want to be fair about this, and I think we all do, I mean, none of us benefits if this administration tanks. We all will do better if we all do better, as the late, great Paul Wellstone once said. So let's hope that they're able to get out of their own way. Let's hope that they're able to spell correctly. Let's hope that they can find aircraft carriers when they don't seem to know where they are. You know, some of these things are just silly. Some of them are optics. Some of them matter. But at the end of the day, I hope they figure it out. I hope that they do a better job.
Yeah, and in this district, where it's already seen basically a barometer of how popular Trump is, Trump has sort of cemented that notion by getting so involved in this race. He recorded a robocall. He tweeted about it multiple times. He attacked John Ossoff on Twitter as well. And he called Karen Handel and promised that he would support her any way he could. So if this wasn't seen as a test of Trump's popularity before, now it definitely is.
No kidding. I mean, so it's going to be a one-on-one. And if Trump starts to show up, if he does, in fact, officially endorse her — he did not endorse anybody in this special primary — then it really will be his stamp. And it'll be that much more interesting to see how that plays out. So the election then is going to be when?
June 20th.
All right. Greg, what a pleasure. Let's you and I stay in touch. Either when you come to Chicago or when you're down there, we'll reach out to you again.
Great, and watch out for my wife tomorrow. She'll be up there.
Stay well, sir, and travel safely. Greg Bluestein writes for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And we are back. 225. Make it 226 on WGN. Our Hometown Voices tour stop is today at Pinstripes. We are in Oak Brook, or is this technically Oak Brook Terrace? Is this Oak Brook Terrace? Oak Brook. And we are here courtesy of our friends at Allstate. We'll say hello to them in a little bit, make a big fancy check presentation. By the way, if you have a question or comment, we'd be happy to answer any questions before we get to the news. You, sir, what is your name? Hello, right there.
My name is Carrie Bonora.
What can I do for you? Is it Carrie?
Yes, Carrie is my name.
Hi, Carrie. Do you have a question for us?
Well, it's not necessarily a question. I just want to welcome you back to the Chicagoland area and welcome back to WGN Radio, especially the broadcast during the day. I really enjoy you, John. You're a tremendous personality in the radio.
Yeah, take all the time you need. I've got all the time you need.
That's all I got to say. Thank you, people.
It's nice of you to say that. Yeah. A couple of you have asked, how's the house hunt going? Because, as you know, we are moving back from Minnesota to Chicago. I have looked at every available condo, townhouse, and home in the city of Chicago. And it's exhausting. It really is. If any of you want to sell me your house for cheap... And here's the one I want, the one with low taxes and low, if you're in a condo, association fees. We want a big yard in central air. We don't want any stairs. And I'm looking for something around $150,000, $165,000. So if you, yeah, I know. That, sir, John, is why I've been looking in Northwest Indiana, because that house exists. The problem is you live in Northwest Indiana if you buy that house. And here's what the realtors are still saying over there. And I've met some nice people, and they're lovely. And it's a nice area. I'm not here to knock it. We have listeners there. But they keep saying, and when we get that extra train line out here, commuting to and from Chicago is going to be a breeze. Like they're going to have that done next week. You know, I'm like, you can't build a train line to Chicago in my lifetime. I need it done sooner than that. And I know that's a real... big thing. They're trying to get that done so that more folks will either live there or commute to and from there. It is almost 2:29. We need to pause. We're going to update you on the news. That's next on WGN.
The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, presented by Allstate. John Williams is live at Pinstripes in Oak Brook on 720 WGN.
Yeah, he is. He sure is. Here we are, 2:30 now, 7. Thank you, Kim. Ro Khan's around the corner. He'll inform and entertain you. Ro's got a bunch of things. In fact, he's joined by former Blackhawk Adam Burrish to preview tonight's game. Boy, do we need a win tonight. I mean, we have to win tonight. Ro's talking about that. 4:10, he'll be out of the gate at 3 on WGN. So at 2:37, one of the things we're going to talk about on our show tomorrow is the story in the Sun-Times today. There were a couple of them. It was about people who text and drive. You know you should not text and drive, but I know that you do. Even if you are reading a text while you're driving, that's texting and driving, and a lot of us do it. They are thinking in Chicago, one of the aldermen has a proposed ordinance that would say that if you are pulled over, if you have an accident, or if they pull you over, they will take your phone and they'll hook it up to a gadget, and it will tell them when it was used last and how it was used. And then if
hey,
they
John,
want to get
can I interrupt you for just a second? I'm sorry.
Yes, you may.
I just want to bring you an ABC special report as to what's going on the Champs-Élysées in Paris.
Go right ahead.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Scott Goldberg. There is a developing story in Paris. Police there are telling people to stay away from the Champs-Élysées. That is the famous avenue in the heart of the French capital. There have been reports of shots fired there, and French police are confirming that one officer has been killed, another is wounded, and a suspect also has been killed in an exchange of gunfire. What this is about, it's too early to say, but video from France shows lots of police cars swarming the Champs-Élysées, and again, people have been told to stay away after a shooting there. One police officer killed, another wounded, a suspect also dead in the French capital. I'm Scott Goldberg. This has been a special report from ABC News.
And that's the latest from Paris. Judy will keep you updated, and we will let you know what's going on.
Kim, yeah, and by the way, Kim, I know you're sitting there in the newsroom in Chicago. I'm at Pinstripes with a bunch of listeners. We're having a nice time, and that's a sobering report for us to hear. But we certainly appreciate you passing that along.
I hate to be the downer, but I think it's a big developing story.
You know, it breaks your heart, Kim. It absolutely breaks your heart. In fact, some of the people I'm sitting with here, I've traveled with many places, many times, and we have been to the Champs-Élysées with some of the listeners that I'm with here right now. It's a lovely place. And when you go there, when you tour a lot of the places in Paris and in France, they don't take this lightly. It's not like even though Europe has a different attitude about guns and policing than we do in this country, they have, my recollection was, a pretty strong police force there. And there were times where you'd be walking along the Seine, maybe you were on your way to the Eiffel Tower, and you would see a group of maybe a half a dozen guys in military garb, and they would look like they had on vests, and they were displaying large guns. And they would be walking around, not because we thought anything bad was about to happen, but as a show of force. That's the way I always interpreted it. And what can you do? If one crazy person wants to drive a truck into a crowd or shoot somebody, I don't know that there's anything any of us can do about that. But they demonstrated that they were doing everything they can. I mean, at least those guys could have responded. And if their presence was a deterrent to some of these crazy people, all the more power to them. But it was interesting because when you tour Chicago, if you go to San Francisco, you might see a squadron of bicycle cops, or you might see a group of cops and horses or cars, but you don't see a bunch of them walking around like they're ready for a military operation with large guns. And yet you did often when you were in Paris. And then something like this happens, and it just breaks your heart.
It does, because who hasn't been to Paris on a gorgeous day? And that's one of the first things you want to do as a tourist. You go to the Eiffel Tower, you walk the streets of Paris and the Champs-Élysées. It's beautiful. You know, everybody wants to take that in.
And this is easy for me to say now sitting here, but my call to people is to don't let them take that away from us. That's a great thing. You know, it's funny because the last time I was with a group in France, some people didn't want to go to France because they were worried, oh, this might be dangerous. They were leaving Chicago, for crying out loud. The people in Paris didn't want to come back with us because they thought we were crazy. There will be violent acts in the world, but I would hate it if people therefore stopped traveling, stopped interacting with other nationalities and people from other countries. I don't want to get Pollyanna-ish about it, but
no, you can't stop doing
I think
that.
That's important.
That's not living.
You're absolutely right. Keep us posted, Kim Gordon.
Okay, and just one quick little update I have. They are already saying in Paris that this does look like it's possibly terror-related.
Keep us posted, Kim Gordon, in the WGN newsroom in downtown Chicago. Okay, from that, we now talk to some friends from... So here we are at Pinstripes in Oak Brook. This is the... Hometown Voices Tour, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. And sitting next to me is Maggie Barashka. She's the Allstate agent we've been talking about. Maggie has been an Allstate agent for how long? Hi, Maggie.
Hi, John. I started my career with Allstate in 2005, but I opened my own agency in 2008.
What a lovely accent, if I may. Yeah. You probably get that right away. Where are you from?
I do. I am from Bulgaria.
How long have you lived in the United States?
Since 2002. So not
really.
Yes. Yeah.
What were you doing in Bulgaria?
It's a long story. I was an accountant, and I also had my own floral shop there.
Really?
So, yeah. Nothing related to insurance. Nothing related to.
What brought you to Chicago? What brought you to the States?
The government of the United States has a very interesting program to diversify the population of the United States. It's called the Green Card Program.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to win one of those. And
while you were in Bulgaria, you wanted to come to the United States.
We did, yes.
Your number came up.
Yep.
Huh?
Yep. And our number came up with my family. I had one child at the time. And we came, me, my husband, and my daughter at the time, just the three of us in six suitcases.
Did you come to Chicago?
We came to Chicago area, yes. Yeah, we actually landed in Elmhurst.
How did you pick Elmhurst from Bulgaria? I mean, I know Elmhurst is awesome, but if I could live in anywhere in the United States, would I pick Elmhurst? Why did you pick Elmhurst?
Believe it or not, there is a large Bulgarian community in Chicago area. This is from friends, from one person to another person, so this is how we ended up here in.
So literally you, your two kids, your husband, and one.
Just one at a time.
And six suitcases, and off we go to the United States. Yep. What a great adventure.
I know.
Was it fun or was it terrifying?
It was fun at the beginning. Sounded very fun as an idea. Then once we landed, it was like, oh my God, what are we doing here and where do we start? But then little by little, we
Did you
settled
speak
down.
Good English then, as
no,
you do now?
No, thank you, but no, I did not speak that much English at the beginning.
So then you found yourself working for Allstate?
No, then I found myself working in a retail store, and then after that, through several other jobs, I decided that, you know what I do best is help people, and it's about time for me to get this side of me going to a different direction. And I got a job with another Allstate agent in 2005, and in 2008 I decided it's time for me to take it on my own and move on.
How lucky for Allstate to have somebody like you.
Yes, and how lucky for me to work for such a great organization.
Really? Has it been fun?
Oh, my
interesting?
God, yes. If I have to go back, I'll do it in a heartbeat again.
Why? I mean, I wouldn't think selling insurance would be that much fun or that interesting. Why
is
it?
It's not about selling insurance. It's all about helping people. We're not here just to sell the insurance. Yes, everybody does need insurance, and therefore we do sell it to them. But no, it's the passion of to help people. This is what brings the good out of me in this job, and this is what I think is the most important part of our job, period, than everybody else's.
Boy, is she good or what? Now I want to sell insurance. Are you kidding me? And so with your Bulgarian background, and you live in an area, you say, where there are a lot of expats, do you reach out to those people then?
I do. I do, and they reach out to me as well. Again, I keep talking about helping people, but yes, there are a lot of Bulgarians that do have some trouble speaking English, or some that don't, but they still feel more comfortable speaking in Bulgarian or more secure talking to me when it's time for their insurance needs.
Sure, yeah, I can imagine.
Financial planning and all that stuff.
Allstate makes a donation. You get to pick the recipient. Who did you choose?
This year I decided to give the Allstate Foundation grant to a little Bulgarian school, which I do have a couple of representatives from the school here with me to help support the cause. Every year we actually get to pick if we want, and we volunteer. So
$1,000 check via you and your agency is going to the little Bulgarian school.
Correct.
And that is in...
That is the little Bulgarian school is in Elk Grove Village.
Elk Grove Village.
Yes.
And sitting next to you are Zhivka Petrova and Evelina Petrov. Ladies, welcome to our show. How are you?
Very well, John. Thank you for having us.
So what do you do with the school?
I am actually the community outreach coordinator for Little Bulgarian School.
I see. Mm-hmm. And so what is the school? Is it K-8 or is it a language school? What is it?
It's a language school. Well, how the school was funded, it was funded by Zhivka Petrova, who's sitting right next to me. But it was funded in 2010, and it mostly focuses on children of all ages. They take children as young as, well, they took mine at 18 months.
Wow.
So at 18 months, it's a Saturday school, so we're trying to build it and grow it in so that it can be an everyday school, but an everyday after school. But it's a Saturday school currently that it runs from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. on Saturdays. And what they do is they incorporate the culture. They not only teach you, they take your children and they... Did you ever watch My Big Fat Greek Wedding and how she spoke about having Greek school?
Yeah.
I grew up wishing that I was her, because before Zhivka came into the picture, there was no Bulgarian school.
So you keep the culture, the language,
the history of
Bulgaria alive for these people.
Exactly. Well, it's not these people. These are all little American children born here in the States.
Right.
What you're trying to do is you're trying to force feed another culture into their world, and they're thriving and they're loving it.
Yeah. Well, that must make, and so you are Zhivka Petrova. That must make you feel good.
Hi, John.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
How long have you been in the United States? Are you from Bulgaria also then?
Yes, I'm from Bulgaria for 17 years already. So I'm a teacher, and this is what I love to do, just teaching and helping kids grow through their education.
Are there other schools like this for Bulgarians or for Italians or the French? Are there other similar kinds of schools in the area?
Absolutely. There's Polish schools, there's Greek schools, there's Russian schools.
Well, do the kids go, wait, I went to school Monday through Friday. I do not want to go to school on Saturday.
That's what I thought. But you know what? They wake up and they want to go. My daughter wakes me up because I'm sorry, I've worked all week. She comes with me and she starts hitting me over the head. Mommy, wake up. Mommy, wake up. It's 8 a.m. Mommy, wake up. We have to go to school. And this is every single Saturday because she's energized. She's excited to go there because she's with her little friends. And what they put in, what the teachers give to those children, it's indescribable.
Do they have Bulgarian food then and
they
things
do.
Like that?
They have a lunch. They have lunch and snacks are catered from a Bulgarian
What would that
store.
Be? What's a Bulgarian? What do you have for lunch if you're in Bulgaria?
Oh, okay. It's similar. Hamburgers, pizza.
Oh, no,
sometimes.
Don't say that. No,
yes.
no.
Okay.
Promise me the toppings are different.
Okay.
No. It's little. It's a phyllo. It's phyllo stuffed feta cheese with eggs. Or they have like these little melt-in-your-mouth croissants, which are not even, they look like croissants, but they're not made out of croissants dough, filled with hamburger, with hot dogs.
Huh.
Now the kids go crazy for those.
How about that? Is there a tuition charge for the kids then?
There is, but it's minimal. Can you imagine that as a child, like, to take your 18-month-old, it costs about $3.50 an hour. I've done the math. So tuition is if you have one kid in there, it's $500 for the whole school year, and the school year is 8.5 months.
What will you all do with the $1,000 foundation check from Allstate?
We are currently, what we're trying to do is we're trying to expand our school so that we can reach more children. Because currently we only have the organization for Saturdays. We want to reach out so that we can be an after-school program.
Would you want also... So you all have a background in Bulgaria. What if I don't, but I want to know more about the culture?
I have an MBA from Northeastern. I have no background in Bulgarian.
Really?
So but this you... all culture, it comes from Zhivka. It comes from what she was able to provide and support for us.
So it's sort of like learning another language or learning another culture. Kids
that's
have
exactly
immersion
it.
Programs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the immersion program. I mean, it's not only for kids that were just born here to Bulgarian parents. It's also for other children that want to come and get to know the Bulgarian culture and get more immersed into it.
Hmm. Well, that must make you feel good to see this being used that way, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing to see. And, yes, you do see the smiles of the kids at school, and they love learning about their culture, where their parents and grandparents came from. And it's exciting for us to see this being carried further.
Okay, we need to pause. We'll get ready for the news and the Rokan show. We've got a big Czech presentation to make. So we'll do that in just a minute. But ladies, thanks for joining us. Zhivka and Evelina and Maggie, thanks for saying hello to us. Congratulations and keep up the good work.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, John.
It's
thank you to Allstate and thank you, John.
Yeah, you betcha. It's a 250. Listen to that. I spent some time in Minnesota. I sounded like you betcha there. That did not sound Bulgarian. That sounded like a Minnesotan. Today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour stop is at Pinstripes. We're in Oak Brook. It's presented by Allstate agent Maggie Barashka. About a minute left here. We'll do the big check presentation off the air. And we've got some fun videos to show of us all eating bugs here as well. So you'll make sure you see that at WGNradio.com. Judy Pilak is in the newsroom getting ready now. Kim Gordon stepped out, and Judy's in the big seat. Judy, any other news about that shooting at the Champs-Élysées that we were talking about?
Yes, the Champs-Élysées in Paris. We do know that one police officer is dead, apparently another one wounded. The suspect also dead. Now, we are hearing there might be another suspect on the loose. All we know is that apparently these men opened fire on police in that area, and they might be looking for one more suspect.
Judy, when Kim was on, she said that the suspicion was that it was terrorist-related. Have you seen anything else about that?
Well, we have seen that. It's possible that it is terror-related. And also on Tuesday, French police had announced that they did arrest a couple of people in a thwarted terror attack there. So, you know, this all is working its way up to the very tense presidential election that will be coming their way in 3 days. So security is high. It had already been high, of course, from the previous terror attack.
Judy Pilak in the WGN Radio Newsroom. Judy, thank you. We'll let
Absolutely.
You get back to the news. We'll hear her at the top of the hour. That's right around the corner on WGN.